Blog Talk Radio.
כל פינה של הבית הוואט השארת רק שקרים, שקרים, שקרים. מתחת לסלון על הספה, בארון הבגדים. רכבות ממשיכות ואיתם החיים לטוס בדרכים, דרכים, דרכים. אני יודע שבסוף עוד אתגבר, אבל עכשיו לא מתאים. כל הסודות, הבגידות עם מה הוא מסתבר שכולם חוץ ממני ידעו. את לקחת לי שנים עבודות ועכשיו את לבד כי אהבת רק אותי. את ניצבת בוכה לך בפתח ביתי. את אומרת כל אדם יכול לטעות בעיניים כנות, בעיניים כנות. אין בי כוח לך לסלוח, לוותר, למחול, לשכוח את הכל. אני רוצה אבל פשוט אתה לא יכול. אני כבר לא יודע מה לעשות, איך מדמיין אותך בחושך רק איתו. הלב שלי כמעט כבר שיוצא מדעתו, יוצא מדעתו. כל פינטה של הרחוב של הבית ההוא, זיכרונות צפים, צפים, צפים. איך התמשקנו אז בגשם, לא עשינו חשבון לחיים. ובראש מחשבות רק רוצה להגיד לך מילים, מילים, מילים. ועדיף שאשתוק, אני חושב שהאמת בפנים. את כל התשוקות שמיירת להגשים כמו ילדה מטורפת בזדות זרים. את לקחת לי שנים עבודות ועכשיו את לבד כי אהבת רק אותי. את ניצבת בוכה לך בפתח ביתי. את אומרת כל אדם יכול לטעות בעיניים כנות, בעיניים כנות. אין בי כוח לך לצלוח, לפטר, למחול, לשכוח את הכל. אני רוצה אבל מלמוד לא יכול. כן, אני כבר לא יודע מה לעשות, איך מדמיין אותך בחושך רק איתו. הלב שלי כמעט כבר שיוצא מדעתו. לוותר, למחול, לשכוח את הכל. אני רוצה אמר פשוט לא יכול. אני כבר לא יודע מה לעשות, איך מדמיין אותך בקושך רק איתו. הלב שלי כמעט כבר שיוצא מדעתו. אז אל תכעסי כי זה רק בגללך ובינינו הפעם זה שוב לא ילך. אז לקחת פיסה מנשמתי רק לעצמך.
Good night all, good night again, and we want to welcome you to Empowering Lives and Shaping Destinies. My name is Dr. Yvette Kinnerick, and I am your host and I am your sponsor tonight. I am the CEO of Kyle Inc. and three other corporations, and I am being sponsored by Kyle Inc. So tonight we will be talking about seasons, and this is our mini-series called Seasons. And because this is a month when people think about falling in love and being in love and staying in love, then we have the celebration of St. Valentine's, when people buy gifts and they tell each other how much they love them. I'm thinking that this is a fitting time for us to discuss falling in love, being in love, and staying in love. There is more to just falling in love. What actually happens when a person falls in love? Or what happens when a person falls out of love? And we will be answering a lot of these questions tonight. To say to you, do not learn alone, because there will be a lot of information being shared. So I'm going to ask you to take a minute to call your family, your loved ones, and your friends, and let them know that some very interesting information is happening here tonight, and that they should go into the program. So the internet link that you will give to them would be H as in Harry, T as in Thomas, T as in Thomas, P as in Paul, /, T as in Thomas, O as in Oregon, B as in Booth, T as in Tumble, R as in Random. .com/S/12196089. And for those of you who will be calling in using the telephone number, that number to call in is 347-857-1311. I also want to take the opportunity to say good night to all the listeners to this program. We have people in various parts of the planet who are listening, and some of you are out of your beds 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning to log on live. We do not take your time for granted. Even those of you who are within our time zone, we do not take any of your time for granted. You've made a choice to be here. You've made a choice to come be a part of this, and we want to let you know that we appreciate you. So while you take a minute to call your friends and to say to them that something good is going on and you want to be a part of it, we will play some music for you while you do this.
כל פינה של הבית ההוא את השארת רק שקרים, שקרים, שקרים מתחת לסלון על הספה בארון הבגדים רכבות ממשיכות ואיתם החיים לטוס בדרכים, דרכים, דרכים אני יודע שבסוף עוד אתגבר אבל עכשיו לא מתאים כל הסודות, הבגידות עם ההוא מסתבר שכולם חוץ ממני ידעו את לקחת לי שנים עבודות ועכשיו את לבד כי אהבת רק אותי את ניצבת בוכה לך בפתח ביתי את אומרת כל אדם יכול לטעות בעיניים כנות בעיניים כנות אין בי כוח לך לסלוח, לוותר, למחול, לשכוח את הכל אני רוצה אבל פשוט אני לא יכול אני כבר לא יודע
איתך בחושך רק איתו.
הלב שלי כמעט כבר שיוצא
מדעתו, יוצא מדעתו.
כל פינטה של הרחוב של הבית ההוא, זיכרונות צפים צפים צפים. איך התמשקנו אז בגשם, לא עשינו חשבון לחיים. ובראש מחשבות רק רוצה להגיד לך מילים מילים מילים. ועדיף שאשתוק, אני חושב שהאמת בפנים. את כל התשוקות שמיירת להגשים, כמו ילדה מטורפת בשדות זרים. את
לקחת לי שנים אבודות,
ועכשיו את לבד כי אהבת רק אותי. את ניצבת בוכה לך בפתח ביתי.
את אומרת
כל אדם יכול ליצור, בעיניים כנות, בעיניים כנות.
אין בי כוח רק לצלוח, לפטר, למחול, לשכוח את הכל.
אני רוצה אבל
מלמוד, אני לא יכול. כן, אני כבר יודע מה לעשות, מדמיין אותך בחושך רק איתו.
הלב שלי כמעט כבר שיוצא מדעתו. לבטל מכל, לשכוח את הכל.
אני רוצה
אמר
פשוט, אני לא יכול. אני כבר יודע מה לעשות, איך מדמיין אותך בקושך רק איתו.
הלב שלי כמעט כבר שיוצא מדעתו. אז אל תכנסי כי זה רק בגללך, ובינינו הפעם זה שוב לא ילך. אז
לקחת פיצה מנשמתי רק לעצמך.
So good night again, and in this mini series we will be discussing love, falling in love, and being in love. So I'll give a little story. I was at the time married to my first husband. He has passed on. And we came home from church. It was a Sunday, and I endured all kinds of berating, abusing, belittling, name calling. It was really, really very bad. And I endured it on the way to church. Then we would go to church. He would be the first one to get up and pray, and the first one to stand up and read the Bible and give a word and bring a word to the people. So I went into one of the rooms where I prayed and I do other things like my crafts, and I said, God, this man is ill-treating me. And God said to me very clearly, he does not love you. So I said, but we are married. And God said, he's not your husband. He was not a virgin when you married him. I was shocked because I had no idea. So I went into the bedroom and I said to him, why did you lie to me and tell me you were a virgin? He said to me, I never told you I was a virgin. And I began thinking about it. He never did say to me whether he was a virgin or not. I just believed that because he was in the church and an up and up preacher in the church, that he would have been someone who was a virgin. I just assumed. But he clearly said to me, I never told you that. When I married you, I was not a virgin. So I went back into the bedroom, and I went back to praying and talking to God, and then he said, so there are two covenants. There is a blood covenant, so someone can make a blood covenant, two virgins come together, and they engage in sexual intercourse, they create a blood covenant, and or if they don't have a blood covenant, so they could have both, but just in case they don't have a blood covenant, then there is the love covenant. And God said to me, he has violated and broken the love covenant. Therefore, he cannot be your husband. He has broken the covenant. And therefore, you have grounds to divorce him. So I went back into the bedroom and I said to him, you were not a virgin when you married me. You're not treating me well. You're not treating me right. You do not love me. And therefore, as of today, I am divorcing you. You are no longer my husband. And he looked at me and he started laughing. He said, I have never met someone as stupid as you are. So I went back into the bedroom and God said to me, let me tell you what love is. Love is a series of characteristics that conjoin identifies that someone is in love with you. Furthermore, if a person violates one of those principles, it means that person is not in love with you, because it means that other parts of the relationship is also broken. So many of us know of this verse in 1 Corinthians, and this was the template that God gave to me to identify whether my husband was in love with me. Love is the act of loving. It is a proactive behavior, and that behavior is characterized by kindness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, not envious, does not vaunt up itself. In other words, this person who is in love with you do not publicly, continuously talk about themselves to show that they are better than the other person, or in private, in the home, or where they conduct their relationship, constantly belittle the other one, because when they belittle the other person, they are really saying to them, you know, I am better than you. And that is not a characteristic of love. Love is not puffed up. It is not boastful. It doesn't think way above oneself when compared with the partner, the way he thinks or she thinks about the partner. Love is unselfish. It does own gratification. The purpose of love is to take care of and to ensure that the other person reaches their highest potentials within the covering and the support of love. So if you find you're in a relationship and you are not reaching your potentials, you got to look and see whether your mate is consistently moving ahead, stepping ahead, and not considering whether you should or how to bring you forward to go forward. So love is not boastful of oneself. So in my marriage, there were times when over and over and over, my husband would tell me how much better he was than I was, how I came from the gutter, and he came from an upstanding family. That wasn't love in any way, shape, or form. So does not act inappropriately. Sometimes people find themselves the victim of inappropriate behaviors in their relationship. What it means is that their mate, their spouse, their loved ones, lover, husband, whoever, that passes by, eyes all over the place, and then begins to compare with that woman who is passing there, or the way that woman dressed, or the way somebody else's wife behaved, or some other girl down the streets, how when these kinds of behaviors show up, they are in behavior, and if you not do it in your presence, neither when you are in their presence. So let's say you're married to someone and you're on your job. So we were saying, sorry, we were disconnected for a short period of time, but I am back on and we are here to continue our discussions on empowering lives and shaping destinies. What I will do, because people have begun to send messages telling me that they have lost connection, so I would respond to them and let them know that to dial back in.
למה ככה זה קורה, כל פעם לא יוצא מזה, יושב חושב מה לעשות ולא מוצא תשובות. כולם מנסים להסביר את המצב, אבל בפנים אני יודע שזה לא נחשב. רוצה לעצור את הכל, רוצה אבל לא יכול, לא יודע איך הכל קרה מהר בלי התראה. אז מה לעשות? מה לעשות? שואל את עצמי כל פעם בלילות, האם תחזור לעולם כבר לא תשוב? התקופה היפה של השקט והשלווה חלפה לך, נותרה בי עוד תקווה. איך הכל היה יפה, רגוע ושונה, פתאום הכל כל כך מוזר, רק חושב על המחר, מקווה שיהיה לי טוב עמוק בפנים, שאני לבד עם עצמי ולא רק עם חברים. אז מה לעשות? מה לעשות? שואלת שום דבר מרגש מרגיש בתוכי תחושה של עצב שורף מסתובב ברחוב לא מבין מה כולם רוצים ושוב נשאר לבדי עם אותם הרגעים
So we thank all of you for joining back in on the conversation, and we will continue our discussions on the characteristics of love. So we were at the point where we were saying that when someone is in love with you, they do not act appropriately. We then said it was not fleeting, but it is a long-lasting commitment. At that point, when people are in a relationship where they are in love, they are loyal, and they have fidelity or faithfulness. In other words, they enter into an agreement of mutual exclusivity, which means they are exclusive to each other. So it's a mutually exclusive relationship. And by that we mean anyone else, friends, family, other relationships, whether it is extramarital relationship or extra peer relationship that is formed outside, not alignment but mutual exclusivity. Now, why is mutual exclusivity so important? It is because once people enter into a relationship where there is love and there is bonding and attachment that takes place, there is a registration of that relationship very, very deep within the psyche of that person. And that is why people feel so much hurt. They cry. They get depressed. They do bad things. And in some cases, engage in criminal activities because the pain of the tearing apart is so intense. Love will not disgrace the other person, embarrass them, hurt them, make them feel ashamed, shame them, or make them feel badly. When a person is in a relationship and that person is exposed to disgrace, there is a word for that. It is called social defeat. Social defeat is when a person is publicly shamed, and it takes away from their integrity and their ability to carry on. So research has shown that if a gestating mother is socially defeated, experiences social defeat, so one of those cases of social defeat is the spouse is having an extra peer relationship or an extra marital relationship. And it is known publicly by the community and by their peers. That is considered social defeat. And social defeat has a very negative impact on the fetus and impairs that fetus's ability to arrive at its full potentials after birth. So social defeat, and rather not either not publicly or privately disgracing, but both publicly and privately always uphold one's mate, one's spouse, and you are always behaving in such a way where people know and believe and accept that this person is worthy. It's worthy of you and worthy of your love. And by so doing, people will know that you are also worthy of the love of that person. When one is in love, one makes sure that that other person's interest is looked after. So when you have people, especially in blended families, people are making sure that their children or their wife or ex-wife or the mother of the child, they're making sure that, I'm going to take care of them before I take care of you, then that person is not ensuring that your own interest is taken care of. When you have people in relationships, and if one is the primary breadwinner, and that person is not taking care of the family, but making sure that monies go to other places, they've got to fix up somebody's house down the street. What it's saying is that your interest is not the main interest, it's not a primary interest in the relationship, and it tells a great deal about the fact of whether they're in love with you or not. So, in a relationship where there is love, people are not competitive. They're not competing. They're not, I have to be the winner in every argument because it's about winning an argument. And I will blow up hell if I, in order to make sure that my point gets across and your point does not get across, because I have to show that I am smarter than you, I'm more brilliant than you, I am better than you. All of those indications that is the relationship is not one that is built on love. Then we have not being easily provoked. So there is a personality that is known as the dark triad personality. And it's three personalities: narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellian. Machiavellian was a politician who ensured that and wrote scripts and books to tell people how they should act to be at the top all the time. So sometimes you hear people say that person is a macho. Well, it comes from Machiavellianism. And that is not a good thing in a relationship. It means that that person is more in love with themselves than with you, and it is time to move on. Think no evil. What do we mean by think no evil? There are people who would think the worth of their partners. If the partner went out down the street, they're thinking that that person is running away to meet someone, to have a relationship with someone. So they're thinking evil of that person. Now, what if, you might say, what if my spouse is actually doing this and I am here thinking no evil? That makes me foolish. No, it doesn't make you foolish. It makes you honorable. Because guess what? As long as you walk purely in love, whatever is going on the outside, if something is going on the outside and it is not wholesome, trust me, you will know about it. It will come to your attention. So don't worry about being stupid or looking as though you are stupid. No, be honorable. And the universe will bring all the information to you that you need to do in order for you to move forward. But by the time external affairs are happening, extra couple affairs are happening, or extra marital affair is happening, by the time that begins to happen, it is an indication that all of the other measures of love, the other aspects of love, the love covenant, has already been broken. And you're looking up to the truth. But if you have neither a blood covenant with the person when you married that person, or when you entered into the relationship, that person had several other relationships before you, sexual relationships, so you don't have a blood covenant with that person, then it's only a love covenant, and they just have to break one of the rules, and that gives you the authority to move on. Later on in the series, and I do not think we will get here tonight, we are going to talk about why there is so much hurt in the world, why there are so many relationships that are not good or going bad or failing. There is a reason for that, and we will discuss the reason why this is happening. So, because a person holds their partner, their mate, their husband, their wife in high esteem, there are some things that they will not think. They will be honorable. They do not rejoice in iniquity, but they rejoice in truth. So when something bad has happened to your mate, your spouse, your husband, your wife, you sorrow with them. You don't gloat and say, yes, this has happened to him. I'm talking here, and many of you will relate to this, and both men and women will relate to this. What does that mean? It simply means that if you are engaging in this and you are a woman, you need to check yourself, because you are engaging in behaviors that are not lovely. You're behaving in ways that is not comely. Your behavior and your actions and your characteristics are saying that you do not love the person that you're with. So, bearing burdens together, believing that all things will always work out well. Those are some of the signs and the characteristics of a person who loves someone. So when I started, I said that we'll be talking about love, and we just went through the characteristics of love so you could identify whether you are in love or you are loved.
There is also falling in love. And falling in love is an addiction process. It triggers neurochemical responses that are identical to addictions. And there are two aspects of this addiction. There is the mental or physiological, neurological aspect of the addiction. And then there is an addiction that is created when the couple engage in sexual relationships. And being in love, the act of being and staying and remaining in love is also an attachment. So we would look at attachment theories and the sexual aspect of attachment, as well as the transference of attachment from childhood and synchronicity with respect to love. And we will expand on all of this. And pertinent to love, falling in love, being in love, and staying in love, there are three issues that we must fully understand. One is that of soulmates, one of soul ties, and another one of related to genetic presentments. So we want to take a brief break and listen to Mr. Levi Polkowicz. After we come back, there is a very special person that I love very, very, very dearly, that I would like to pay some tribute to him. So let's listen to Mr. Polkowicz. And when we come back, we will talk about this person that I'm in love with.
Ganze Welt, am weißer Mikdash aufgestellt, jeden verschieden, alles wie ein, und in dem Beschäfer allein. Herrlich ist das Bild, die Gassen sind in übergefüllt, die Völker mit Meure, ein Zitzer mit Hot, in die Stein der letzte Geist von Gott. Der Alter mit dem Damm bei keinem, der Zeil der Träume ist vergeben. Kein Mund nach, kein Mund Winkel, sie sind geschaut in jeden Winkel, von Tag ist jeden Weih, alles lebt mit der Herren Gai. Du bist cool, aber ich weiß, ich bin bei mir auf Ungelang, das sei für dich in der Hand. Mach dir Bingo und Freile, wie üblich bei Sascha. Malle, shine a dosh in the zayt dale, a ming hab to shine, van nem di shume alay. Oh, 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 ay, la, 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 a frische gedicht, a schmeichelte Sinche, die geit zu lieben stein. Oh, oh, Mashiach, the Mayelik Sham, Zol Mishin Zoy Chazam. The kids are today, ringing, tringing, taking glee. Oh, I la 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 la. With the fresh kids, the ash my cup and sing. Wie mein Geist und wie mein Stein. Oh, oh, I la 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 la. I got for you through the team and rooting my shame. Mit Angst und Heiligkeit.
And that was Mr. Levi Halkovich. And he is also one of my favorite singers, my favorite musician. And I listen to a lot of his music. So before we go back into discussing love, well, we're not moving away from love here at all, but we are continuing to talk about love. And I want to give some nice words and dedication to my only surviving brother. His name is Donnan Taylor. He is my only, or our only, surviving brother. And what it is that my parents had 10 children. I'm the youngest. So I get to tell everybody what to do, and they listen. They don't want me to have a tantrum, so they listen when I speak. Donnan was born. So my parents had us in like reverse sequences. So there was a brother. The firstborn was a brother. The second one was a sister. And then there were three boys. So what has happened here is that on the other end, I'm the youngest, then there is my brother, Donnan, and then the upward are the girls. So there are five of us who are still remaining, because five of my siblings have passed on. And so there are, I have three siblings, and my brother and myself makes it five. But our brother went through some real challenges in the last year, and he survived them. That was the great part of it. He overcame, and to me, he is a world champion because he is resilient, and that's one of the best things that I like about my brother. So my brother was born just before me. Donnan was born just before me, which means he was in the womb just before I came into the womb. I was an expert when he was a fetus. And there is a special bond that we have. So, you know, I have high moments in our childhood days. My brother is a very, very, very brilliant man. He's one of the most brilliant people that I know. My brother was no more than 8 years old, definitely no more than 10, when he made this transistor radio. We don't know, I don't know where he got the information from. I don't know where he got the parts from, but he got this small piece of plywood and placed everything on it. And then he had, I think it might have been a screw that he was using, I can't quite remember, to turn the radio on and off and to find frequencies on the radio. Now, for a little genius, and we were not in a school or not in a place where there were those kinds of resources available to us. So for a 9-10-year-old to build this without us knowing, we didn't have internet as we now have. So I don't even know where he got the information or the insight to do it, but he did it. But that wasn't all. That same brother created solar power. So that transistor radio that he built, he was using solar power on that. And I am talking, I'm going to tell you how many years ago, because now you're going to start trying to figure out my age. But for tonight only, I really don't care if you figure out my age. But I am talking at least 50, but more likely 55 years ago. My brother, Donnan, did this. So he was a genius. And one of the things I had been touring with, I've been toying with this idea for a while, and it's more than 2 months now, I'm saying, people wait until a person has passed away before they start saying all the nice things about them. I feel people should hear the nice things about them throughout their lives. At every opportunity we get, we must tell people how much we love them, how much we care about them. And this is what tonight is about. I am letting my brother know how much I love him and how much I appreciate him. And I'm going to add something here, which is might be a little bit funny. But when we were growing up, we played with fire. And we were allowed to play with fire. So we used to make a lighting, something that lit. It was called by different names, the French name being flambeau for flame, or boule de feu for a ball of light, right? So we made these things, and it was only as an adult. In the last 10 years, I learned that what we were making was really a Molotov cocktail. So we were 8, 9, and 10 years old, and we were making Molotov cocktails. Of course, I didn't know what we were doing, but when I tell people what we used to do, they look as though I are you for real? Did your parents allow? Yes. That's how we played. We also made other kinds of stuff. And if you knew how they were made, they were actually different kinds of explosives and had the makings of a bomb. They could have been very, very, very dangerous. But they say God protects drunk people, little children, and fools. And somewhere between that, we might have been little children, but we might be fools as well. Because they say foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but of correction lies it far from him. So I remember one night while playing with fire, as we normally did, it was customary, we played with fire. My mother just allowed us. I think she was just tired. And she just said, you know what, just let these children go. They won't kill themselves, but they would learn. And one night, my brother managed to have some flames because we used to light petroleum inside of an enclosed chamber. We would get bamboos as the enclosed chamber. We pour kerosene on it. And then we will use the Molotov that we created to light fire inside this chamber so that it will cause a flat fire to run on top of the petroleum. Really, really dangerous stuff. And one night the fire came back, it backfired and it burned all of my brother's eyebrows and eyelashes. She went inside just screaming in pain, and my mother said, okay, now you will know to go and lie in your bed and be quiet. And of course, the next morning when he woke up, there were no lashes on his eyes, and he had eyebrows. He had no eyebrows, no lashes, and he was having difficulty to open the eye. And it was then I learned that your eyelashes play an important role in you being able to open and close your eyes. So those are some of the things that we got up to, but that's not what I remember. I'm remembering my brother most for. A few years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, my brother came to Florida, came to visit, and I went to meet him in Miami. He was at my other sister's house. So in those days, I rode hard. I sped. I sped on the road, and I just carried on for hours and hours without stopping. So I needed to put gas in the car, and I got my brother, and then we were heading out. And then I said, I got to put gas in the car, and I pulled up at the gas station, and before I could step out of the car, my brother was out of the car at the gas pump, paying for the gas and filling up my gas tank. And I realized that night that I was deprived of having a worthwhile man in my life because I was at that time. And I had dated people. None of them treated me with that kind of courtesy. And it dawned on me that I was glad to have a brother because I had a brother who was treating me right, the way a man treats a female, a male treats a female. I want to give you one more story. Because I want my brother to know how much I appreciate him. I was going through a series of hardships in my life. And I called one of my sisters one day and I said, Aslan, I cannot lose everything again. If I lose everything, this would be the third time in my life where I am losing every single thing that I ever owned. And she quickly called my other siblings, and I realized that she called Donna because I got a call. The next person who called me was my brother, Donna, and he started off by saying, Job's sister, I know that God must be preparing you for something really, really great, something spectacular. And therefore, I am going to send you. You tell me how much money you need, so I will send it to you so you don't lose everything that you own again. And within hours, that money was wired to me. That is a friend. That is a brother. That is someone that is worthy of love. That is someone who is worthy of respect. I respect my brother. My brother has taken us to parties, and we went to the clubs with him. And while we are at the club, he would be making sure that we always had our drinks top. I had other brothers who did the same thing, but Donan, he went over and above at the top. So I'm saying all of these things to give my tribute and my well wishes and good feeling towards my brother. So I called someone today and I said, look, this is what I'm going to do. And I don't want anyone to tell him that this is what I'm going to do, because he will say, no, you shouldn't do that. I am a very private person, and this is not something, I don't want you talking about me, because he's very, very humble and very modest. So I said, I will ask for forgiveness rather than ask for permission. So after the show, I will call him and ask him to please forgive me, and then I will say sorry, not sorry. so I'm glad that I did. So my other siblings have sent information forward, and I'm going to read what one of them have sent. This is Oslyn Williams. So if Donnan is listening, and I hope he is, he will also have to deal with Aslan and say to her, why didn't you tell me, or why didn't you stop Yvette from doing this? And she will have to answer for herself. But I will call and say I'm sorry, and then I'll say sorry, not sorry. So this is Aslan Williams for Donnan. We love you and appreciate all the times that you came through for us. Something I just said. We trust that God's grace and favor will continue to embrace you. So one of my reasons for doing this tonight is because I wanted to upstage my sisters, because my sister took it upon herself to take him out for dinner before his birthday and then put it up on the family page to make us feel bad or to make us feel jealous. So I decided that I will upstage her and do something that's bigger and better. And it is for that reason why I am not going, I did not tell him ahead of time. And it is for that reason I am doing it now, because I needed to upstage Mrs. Williams as well. And because I really, really, really love my brother, and he really deserves this. And he is not going anywhere soon at any time. I am the youngest, and I have told all of them that they do not even think about leaving this planet at any time soon. I also say to them that I will live until there is technology that will extend my life to 200 years, 180. And then by that time, more technology would be discovered, and I will go to about 300, close to 400. And by that time, more technology will take me to 1,000 years or more, at which time Methuselah, who now holds the records for the oldest man who has ever lived, will be taken out of the Guinness Books of Record, and my name will be inserted as the oldest human that has ever lived. So having said all of that, I am going to play a really nice song that I played last week called World Champion. And when I played it for the first time last week, I went through the words for the song. So I will be sending the words of the song to Donnan later on for him to have a full understanding of what I mean and how I think about him as a world champion. So Donnan, I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad that you're in my life. I'm glad that you were born. I'm glad you are my brother. I'm glad that we are friends. And I am happy to know someone as wonderful as you. And I am saying tonight, this is a time to say, I love you, and I love you very, very much indeed.
אני אלוף העולם בלהדחיק כל מה שמפחיד אותי כל מה שמלחיץ אני משתיק אני אלוף העולם בלאהוב קודם את עצמי אחר כך בבמה וברחוב הכי קשה לתת למישהו קרוב אני אלוף העולם בלא להיות בלא לפתור לך את הבעיות אפילו התמונות שבקירות זה לא אני תליתי אני אחראי רק על המנגינות אני אלוף העולם
ליפול ולקום כמו גדול אדירי כמו חול אני נשרף אבל בוחר בכל יום להמשיך לחיות אני אלוף העולם ולרצות לפחות לנסות אדירי איך בסוף אחרי ההפסדים אני צחון הרבה יותר מתוק אני אלוף העולם חולשות ותאוות היצר הוא מכר ותיק מכיר כל טריק עתיק שהוא מחזיק בתיק אבל תראי יום אחד אהיה צדיק עמוק בפנים כל מה שיש לי לא מספיק בעליל אני עכבר קטן והחיים חליל נופל לבור כי לא מצליח להבדיל בין טוב לרע ולאן כל זה מוביל את משדרת עסקים כרגיל אבל תכף ייגמר לנו הפתיל אני אלוף העולם בליפול ולקום כמו גדול אדירי כמו חול אני נשרף אבל בוחר בכל יום להמשיך לחיות אני אלוף העולם בלרצות לפחות לנסות אדירי איך בסוף אחרי לפצות, להתנצל ולרצות, לחטוא, להתנקות, לחשוף, להתכסות, תגידי איך כותבים שירים עם אלף ציפיות, מיליוני צפיות. אני אלוף העולם, בליפול ולקום, כמו גדול, אדירי, כמו חול, אני נשרף אבל בוחר בכל יום להמשיך לחיות, אני אלוף העולם.
And that was Hanan Ben Ari, Alufo Haolam. Ani Alufo Haolam. I am a world champion. I am a world champion, rising up like a phoenix out of the ashes. And this is such a beautiful song. The lyrics is so beautiful. And it is very befitting of Donna, who is a world champion in this course of life that we are running. So there are some things that we will be talking about. And we will be talking about soul ties and soulmates. Do you have a soulmate? Are you born? Is there a soulmate? Is there someone who is born along with you at the same time or close to the time that you were born? Who is your soulmate? And there is a particular scripture in the Bible that points to the conceptualization that humans have soul ties. They have soul mates, specific persons who are born and who matches them completely. One of the things that I have found very interesting is that when I work off or I know of people who it would appear that they would have been married to their soulmate, they usually die sometimes within hours and definitely within days of each other. And I've seen it happen on several occasions. I have also seen people who were married
to one person, but somewhere in their life, they crossed paths with their soulmates, and that relationship grew into something else. Though I've seen people, although they're married to someone who is not their soulmate, but they've crossed paths with their soulmate, and their soulmate died within hours or days of them passing on. It's a very, very strange and very interesting phenomenon, but there is a scripture in the Bible, and there is ancient philosophies and histories that provide insight into whether we have soulmates. So that's something that we will be talking about. And we'll talk about the genetic predictions in upcoming episodes in the mini-series. So we will play, and I would never say the devil's advocate, because that is not the right thing to say. But I'm going to say something here. If your parents were not soulmates to each other, does it mean that you should not have been born? Or does it mean that you should have been born as a different person? So, earlier on this week, I was thinking about what I would be talking about on the radio. And somewhere along the lines, I became very angry. I was aggressed. I felt as though I was aggressed. And one of the aggressions that migrants face, because I'm a migrant, and I say that all the time, one of the aggressions that we face is that there is a belief that if you are a migrant with an accent, that you are stupid and uneducated, and I meet it all the time. I get on the phone, and I reach someone in customer service, and they are so intent on thinking, oh, this person is not intelligent. And they are listening to the accent. They don't listen to what you say. And then when you try to get them to give it back to you, they give it back as the wrong information. And then as a biofeedback, it confirms that you're stupid and you're ignorant. I mean, it's all the time. So in my anger, I became angry at the colonizers. And I said, they're the ones who's caused this. They had no business taking us from Africa and bringing us into this part of the world where we are oppressed and suffered. And they've colonized us, and now they are trying to make it out as though we are barbarians or we are subhumans. I'm angry with them. They should not have done that. And then riding on top of that, another thought came, which was, well, if they didn't colonize the region, where would you have been? Because in my country, we have, and I'll tell you what we have people of African descent, Hispanic, Jews, so I'm calling some ethnicity, and some your background, your cultural background at the same time. So there are Africans, there are Hispanics, there are French Creoles, there are British people, people from Ireland, from Scotland, a whole wave of people. There are Indians who've come in as indentured servants from the 1840s. There is the Portuguese. And there is the Chinese, the whole blend of people. And most people are blended with a minimum of three, usually more than five or six blend. So they're not one or the other. They are fully mongrels, to be honest, to be laughing at something that is
that is, you know, not funny. It's funny, not funny. So I was saying, well, where would I have been? Well, would I have been born in Africa? Would I have been born? So it raised a whole bunch of questions. So the question is, if your parents were not soulmates, should you have been born? So that is one of the questions we will be looking at. And if you were misborn, if there is something called misborn, you weren't born properly, or you were an accident, or you were misborn, then what is my genetic makeup? And how could I repair my genetic makeup for me to be with my right mate, to attract my right mate? Did I listen to the checklist that was read out? Did we come to think that, well, my spouse doesn't love me, my wife doesn't love me, my husband doesn't love me, because they do not meet all the criteria and the characteristics of love? So those are some of the questions that we will be answering. We will also answer questions that are inside of some of my books, Sex and Wealth Attraction, Wealth Creation, etc., because your wealth creation is related to how you synchronize, and sexual activity is one of the areas where you can synchronize to attract wealth, but there are other pathways. And when we start talking about a time to love or a time to fall in love, or your season, there are seasons and there are times, and there are cyclical times when we attract people. Are we attracting our soulmates? How do we know? Well, how do we fix ourselves to attract our soul? How to mend the relationships that we are in? All of these I will be talking about. So I will take it down just a little bit, and I like to play, you know, let me play one of Mr. Falkovich's songs, Riboin. This should put us in a good place. And when I come back, we will open the mics for our listeners to ask questions, make comments, or add to what was said here tonight.
No,
Barry Weber and Rivalim, not because of good deeds that we have done, only by his mercy, because Hashem is kind. He hears our prayers. He heeds our cry. And that's a lovely, lovely worship piece by Mr. Barry Weber, who is he lives in New York. He was raised and currently still resides in New York. So we would open the microphones of some of our callers for any questions or comments.
929-586. Your mic is open. Okay. 602-430, your mic is open.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can
hear
you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we're hearing you.
Blessings to everyone. I apologize. I'm out in traffic, moving around the town at this present point in time. This is PT, the prophet, from Brookswide 1017. I'm calling on behalf of an invite from Don Jr. and the Worldwide Entertainment Network. I kind of came in on the tail end of everything, and from what I caught, it felt like I missed something real deep. In relation to what I heard, as far as like the colonization of people out here and the perception that's given, the prejudice that's done out here, it's pretty much maturity. I mean, I found in interacting with people, it's global. No matter where you go, there's racism, there's prejudice, it's everywhere. Preconceived. People have stipulations based on economic, stipulations based upon location, where you're at, where you come from. You can give a person your home address, and they'll try and depict what your mentality is going to be just from that. So when it comes to those types of things, you just got to ignore it. Stay focused in on your goals. Stay focused in on what you're looking to accomplish. Realize that you're blessed. You're able to do what you need to do. Stay stepping in faith. Certain things might not happen, and it's not because it's your will, but it's because it's God's will, and you just got to roll with it. At the end of the day, you got to remember your story was written before you were born. God knew everything, and you're just pretty much experiencing God's plan.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. Your life was written before your life began. So, thank you very much. And you can, you know, go back to the recording and we continue to talk about things. There is strength in unity, and sometimes we just need to have someone else give us a different perspective so that we could get back up on the tracks and continue to live. I want to thank you very much for the words that you have just shared with us. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining in.
Yes.
Yes.
929-586. Your mic is open. You about to unmute yourself?
Yes, I am open. Hello.
Yes, good night, good night.
Oh, yes, my sister. I have had the opportunity of meeting a sister who is from Kenya. And coming from that, we spoke a language similar. I'm trying to get her online, you know, for Sunday so that we can talk about Kiswahili and other language that we need to know. And so on. As always, I am proud to be online tonight and to listen to you.
The pleasure is always ours to have your company here. We do this so that we will have the blessings of you showing up to share time with us. So thank you.
Yes, sir. Hotel. I think some of the time that we spend, you know, together is to teach and reach each other, each one teach one.
Yes.
And then bring forward more things that we can be related to, you know. However, Dr. Kinnerick, I am, as I've always said, your 4 weeks of preaching and training is awesome. It's just things I learned about myself, never mind, you know, what you're teaching, but in all of that. So I appreciate so much your teaching and your wisdom and those things. And I hope to continue to learn from you. And please be consistent in teaching us. Yeah, Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe. Ashe. Thank you.
We're going to open up 602. 478.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don G, the CEO, representing the winning team, representing each and every last listener out there in the NEO Project. I love each and every one of you guys. Happy New Year. It's time to get paid. It's the year of Michael Jordan, y'all. Let's make it.
Always, always wonderful to hear you. It's time to get paid. And we will make it happen.
Amen, amen. We had, I guess, weather conditions have, some of the numbers have dropped, and I'm sure they will call back.
Yes, yes, yes. Dr. Robinson, if I may, I want to talk about an important thing that we must cultivate. Some of us do it already. But some of us must learn to cultivate this even more profoundly, so it is more profound in our lives. And it is the art of listening to the spirit of others. So I'll give a couple of my own experiences. When my first son, he would have been quite young. He would have been just maybe not a year or maybe just past a year because he was stroking at the time. One night I was putting him to bed, putting him in his crib, and I decided that I would talk to his spirit as he was sleeping. Because he had fallen asleep and he was sleeping. And I talked to his spirit and I said, Brian, mommy loves you. And that child opened his eyes, woke right up and said, Brian loves mommy too. and went back to bed, went back to sleep, straight off to sleep. I was just speaking to his spirit when he responded. Because when you are going to sleep, it's called, in many cases, the magic hour. And there is a series that I do on wealth attraction and wealth accumulation, where I teach people how to use the twilight hour, the twilight zone, to bring wealth into their space. And it works. As long as they stick to the program, it works. So that was one experience. And another experience was when my dad was quite ill, and he was comatose. One of my sisters and I, we went to the hospital, and I said to her, "You pray and I will talk to his spirit." And I stood up over his bed because my father would not step his foot in a church. You never go to a church, and my mother would say, "Do you think that you're not going to be in a church? Because I'm going to put you in a church when and if you pass away. You will be in a church for your funeral." So, but he was very resistant, and I had prayed to God before that I wanted assurances that my father was right with God. And so, comatose, and my sister was praying, and I began to talk to him and tell him about God and tell him about redemption and salvation and deliverance. And my father came straight out of that deep sleep, coma, I called it, where he was, came up, and I believe. And he lived one more day because I realized he was waiting for one of my sisters to travel, to come, for him to see her, for her to see him before he passed, because he had a very special relationship with that particular sister. And he stayed one day because he knew, his spirit knew that she would have been coming in on that day. But because he recuperated from being in this state, someone said to him, "No, he's well. He's on his way back home." And she canceled her flight. And he passed away the next day. So we have lost the art of listening to people's spirits. And we've lost the art of talking and communicating with people's spirit. And this is something that if we did, we would have better relationships. Because let's say you want to bring up something, you want to discuss something, and you are not sure how receptive your loved one will be to that. You talk with them in the spirit first. You talk with them. This is a technique that we use in therapy. One of the techniques that we use in therapy is to place a chair in front of the client and have the client visualize or imagine that the person they want to speak with is sitting on that chair. We have them close their eyes and we take them down to a deeper level. So we bypass, we break up the logical mind and we go into the subconscious and the unconscious, and we allow them to speak with them. The healing, they get healing from just that action. So I want to encourage us tonight to learn the art of speaking in the spirit to people, not yelling and shouting at them, but in a calm, reassuring way, listening for their responses so that we could make our relationships better. So I just want to pass on that nugget and that strategy, and it will be discussed even more and why it will work. I will explain why it works in this mini series, because we will be continuing this series called The Time to Love. Several persons have asked me how to calculate the days and the days for the Shabbat, etc. Well, there is a verse in the scripture which says, teach us to number our days, to apply our, so that we could apply our hearts to wisdom. And there are a lot of dynamics that go into numbering your days. It starts off with numbering your birth time, numbering the frequency of your name, doing numbering of your times and your seasons. And we'll touch a little bit on that, I hope we could. And it is my desire, it is my strong desire to be a blessing to all of us here, including myself, because when you learn, I learn. There is a loop, it's a biofeedback. When we say good things, when we teach, it loops around and it comes back to us, and we learn, and it is indeed a wonderful thing to share with all of us that are here.
Interesting. I was thinking, Aristotle and Socrates always push thoughts beyond common sense or common knowledge or common understanding about certain words. And we think about intellect, intelligence, telepathy, person being smart. You think about an IQ exam, and somebody from a certain IQ level is considered a extremely intelligent person, has extreme intelligence, extremely high IQ, extremely intelligent. You think of common sense, you think of spiritual awareness or spiritual in-depthness. When you think of different in academia, when you're studying different types of social, political ideology, different types of concentrations of academics, and how the same word in a different class can take on so many different meanings. And so when you think about comprehensive skills, the person with common sense who can evaluate, they don't have the academic background, but they have the ability to have common sense and common understanding, which we know that old saying, common sense is not common. And so when you look at, you know, you may mention to people, listening to people on the telephone or in an environment where the person has a different accent, and from that accent, people will assume that that person is not intelligent. If that person do not carry your doctor in front of their name, or lawyer, or they've been to school. There's a lot of people in the South that have the southern draw, and it's very difficult for them to overcome it, but they have achieved academically, but they still have that southern draw, and people assume that they're not intelligent. I remember being in school, and this girl from South Carolina, she kept saying Ara. Instead of saying R, she kept saying Ara. R-O-N. R-O-N. And the lady kept saying, honey, honey, don't say Ara. Say R. Because people are going to assume that you're ignorant. Because that sounds ignorant. But to her, from the environment that she came from, the southern drawer, that was the norm. And I knew the difference between the two because it's been brought to my attention when I was a little kid. My mom was always up on us in terms of how we communicate because being in the South, you're around a lot of people who cut up verbs and, you know, a lot of times people only had a limited education and the environment can overwhelm you sometimes as a child growing up in that environment if you're not put into a different environment of you can't differentiate between the two. And so, like you said, people assume that a person is not intelligent. Then people don't stop to think because we're in an environment now where people, even the most intelligent person, we realize that they use a very small percentage of their brain capacity. They can go much further. And that's what Aristotle and Socrates were saying. There's more to the human brain. There's more capacity to be used. It's a deeper thought. And when you talk about the spirituality, you talk about how your father spiritually and physically sustained himself for a period of time, that going deeper and deeper into his being to make that transfer into the spirit, to make that go into the natural, that's the total capacity of the usage of the brain and the spirit and the physical, all in one capacity. And they talk about optimal level of health, where every conceivable part of your body, your brain, your physical, your spiritual are all working at high capacity, hopefully at 100%. In the world we live today, everything is systematic and automatic. The classrooms are very limited, and they're very fast and quick. And so information is not being given to students, whether it's primary school, middle school, high school, junior high school, college, post-grad. Your information is very limited. If you don't take what they give you and, you know, go back, oh God, I didn't know the timing was quick here. Well, I'm gonna leave it there. I didn't realize. I'm so sorry. Talk about having no it's of time, right?
Dr. Rob, you know, when we get together, there is so much that we have to see. We never have enough time. So I was listening. Exactly. I didn't see the time either until you said, look at the time. Okay. Dr. Rob.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, and thank you for your wisdom. Iron sharpens iron. And you're right. People look at your accent, well, and that's correct, from the South, they just say, oh, yeah, that's, you know. And I've heard that, I've seen that in my life here. But we're going to take it down very quietly tonight. So I'm going to play the Olenu. The Olenu is a nighttime prayer. It's very calming. It's very soothing. It will take the rough edges and the hurtful and harmful and toxic elements of the day, whether we encounter, and it will bring into one place calm, peace, love, joy, peacefulness, benevolence, kindness, and all the good things that keep us alive. So I will play the Olino, and this is Mr. Yakov Treki, a born New Yorker who now lives in New Mexico, the Olino.
Doing hakoi, lo seis que tu lo lio y se bereshi. Oleinu la shabeya, la doing hakoi, lo seis que tu lo lio y se bereshi. Oleinu la shabeya, la doing hakoi. Το σκετού βουλό, λίγο γιτσε περέιση. Ολέινο λε σαπέγια, λάτο ειν χακοί. Το σκετού βουλό, λίγο γιτσε περέιση. Ξέλο γιορτό, νου, και κογένιο αρρώτο, βελό ειν το μό.
Say, ככל